When's the last time you successfully purchased an item through Craigslist or the classifieds? If you could think about it and it went well, then you are one of the lucky ones. In a recent EPP bonus episode, Classified Paranormal, things didn't go all so smoothly. It is a hauntingly disturbing story you don't want to miss.
I'd become an EPP for this story alone.
When you become an EPP, you're keeping our show on the air. And in exchange for your $5 a month donation to the show, you're getting access to more than 50 bonus episodes of the show, exclusive video content, archived shows, and more. The best thing is it keeps Real Ghost Stories Online alive and kicking. So please consider supporting the show, enjoy all of the bonus content, and help keep Real Ghost Stories Online alive.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, what was it that a former police officer saw that had him questioning his sanity? A popular childhood book gives three girls an idea that they soon regret. A young man finds himself fighting off the evil spirit that was recently exorcised from a friend. And after a greedy family begins looting a deceased aunt's home, they soon find that they cannot get rid of their stolen items fast enough. Those stories, your calls and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello. What are you doing?
I'm getting my water that was way over there.
Oh, so which headline do you like the best today?
I think I'm excited about the the police officer stories are always interesting because they always get to see a lot of horrible shit. Although the greedy family one sounds interesting. I'm assuming it's the ghost of the aunt that is coming back.
I'm not going to be a spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert?
No.
Okay. Well, it should be interesting. Of course, if you want to share your real ghost stories with us, you can do so by calling 855-853-4802. And you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get your stories to us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And you know what? I'm going to throw this out there because we are getting into Halloween season,
mm-hmm.
getting close anyway. And we enjoy these things. And around the country, there's different types of them. But I think our listeners probably, if they consume adult beverages, probably enjoy the pumpkin beverages.
Probably so.
The pumpkin beers. So I'm curious because now there's like a gajillion of them out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's like no limit to. So it's going to be limited to where you're at. But it doesn't have to be local. In fact, if you want to make a suggestion for one you know is available beyond where you are. What is your favorite pumpkin-themed beer or beverage?
Yeah.
That'll be an interesting one for the forum section. Go ahead, leave it up there. I'm really curious as to what's out there and what everybody enjoys.
Sure.
I've tried like three of them, and that's really about it. But I've enjoyed the ones I've had. I'm just curious about all of them that are out there.
Yeah.
And what outshines the others. And it's a matter of taste, but it'd be interesting to see what folks have to say.
Yeah.
About that. So go ahead and share that on our forum section. Maybe I'll put it up on Facebook, too. I don't know. Anyway, 855-853-4802. That's our number, as you know, to call into Real Ghost Stories Online and share your real ghost story with us. Let's kick off the show today with a letter. This one comes into us from Tom. Starts out, "Hi, Jenny and Tony. I live in the southwest section of Toronto, Canada. In a quiet residential neighborhood, and I have to tell you about an experience that I had one Sunday night in mid-May of 2012. It was about 9 p.m. on a Sunday night, and I stepped outside onto the front veranda for a breath of fresh air. It was a clear, moonless night with no precipitation. The streets were well lit. The china had never been used. I live in a corner."
I get it.
I just kind of felt like that was coming. "I live in a corner house on a T intersection on a short two-block-long street. About 20 feet away from where I was standing is a sidewalk running north and south. This is when I noticed blue flashes of light coming south. Thinking it was a snow removal vehicle up the street, I looked north. There was no such vehicles. In Canada, all snow removal vehicles have blue warning roof lights. Red are police and fire, and amber are tow trucks. Since it being mid-May and we hadn't had a snowfall in 2 months, I was perplexed. Further observations on my part revealed that the lights were not in regular intervals, but spaced randomly with no pattern like a 2-2-3, 1-3-2, etc. I also noticed that the lights were not seen in 360 degrees as a rotating warning light would emit. Closer inspection of the lights revealed the lights not to be lights, but bright blue neon figures running south in a line. All the figures vanished when they got to the middle of the T intersection. I estimated that the figures were running at a pace of 80 kilometers per hour, or 50 miles an hour. I could make out heads, arms, and legs on the figures, but no facial features as they all looked identical. After 1 minute of being mesmerized watching them, my wife joined me on the veranda. She asked what I was looking at. I said, "The blue men running." My wife said, "Where?" I said, "Running down the sidewalk. Don't you see them?" She looked at me like I was insane. I should note that I was 54 years old at the time and am an ex-police constable. I'm an occasional social drinker and never partake in any recreational drugs. I had not been drinking that night, and I always try to look for a logical explanation of everything. I said, "Look, there goes another one and another one. There goes two more and another three." She said, "Where? I don't see anything." My wife was now looking scared. After watching for a good 5 to 7 minutes, the blue men stopped, and I didn't see them anymore. Not knowing what I saw, I went back into the house stunned. I did some research on the internet for what I saw, but found nothing relatable. I did tell a couple of paranormal researcher friend of mine my experience, but they had never heard of such a thing before. They hinted that perhaps I had a glimpse of the other side. I've been looking every night since for the blue figures, but they had not reappeared since. I enjoy listening to your podcast, and it always is the first one I listen to when I get a new daily batch of downloads. I also recently became an EPP listener, as I believe that is money well spent to keep your podcast on the air. Keep up the excellent work.
As a wife, I think I would be concerned, not just is he seeing a ghost, but is he having some kind of stroke or something?
That would be the first thing I'd be thinking about.
Yeah, yeah. I would be worried about that. I don't know. It's kind of weird because it sounds like it's almost a cross between an orb and an apparition.
Mm-hmm.
Like the speed and the coloring of an orb, but the shape of a person.
I would have to ask if he's been sensitive to things before.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Does he have any empathic qualities? Does he pick up on other things, not necessarily ghosts, but just feelings and things of that nature, when he notices other people may not?
You know, I think that would be something that could be a blessing and a curse for somebody that's in law enforcement.
Sure.
Because I think that would help with your gut instinct being dead on more often than not, but yet you're going to feel all those emotions of whatever you walk into.
Yeah, exactly. Very interesting story nonetheless.
Yeah.
Or could it just been the Blue Man Group?
Or the ghost of the Blue Man Group.
Doing a little tour.
That's weird.
In Canada. Interesting, interesting story. 855-853-4802. That's our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. We would absolutely love to hear it, so feel free to call in and share away. Let's go over to a letter from Mike, and Mike writes in, "Hi, Tony. Just recently discovered your podcast and enjoying getting caught up. Let me start off by saying that I'm in my mid-50s and never really experienced anything that I could attribute to ghosts. I've always enjoyed reading or watching shows about the paranormal as a form of entertainment. Call me a skeptic, however. My views are beginning to lean towards maybe there is something to this. My wife is a believer and has had several experiences in her life. She told me that she believed there was a ghost in our house. My story is pretty tame compared to most. It begins with the purchase of a new home a few years ago. The home was built in the late 1970s, so it's not like it has a real long history. It's almost a 1.5-story Cape Cod-style home. There are 2 bedrooms upstairs and 1 on the main floor. There's an open balcony at the top of the stairs. It's essentially a hallway between the 2 upstairs bedrooms. This balcony looks down to the main floor. Not long after my wife and I moved in, I'd notice what I call shadows out of the corners of my eyes. No details, but just a bit of movement at the edge of my peripheral vision. When I turned my head to get a better look at what was moving, I'd see nothing there. This happened on a nearly daily basis. I wrote it off to getting older and declining vision. I mentioned it to my wife and found out that she, too, had been seeing the same thing. This is pretty much all that happened for over a year. During our second year in the house, we began to notice things being misplaced. Little things like an ink pen that we keep in the exact same place to jot down notes would come up missing and then show up in the oddest places like the bathtub. At first you'd think I must have just taken it to the bathroom and then it fell in the tub. But after a while, you begin to take note of where you place things a little bit better. This was happening more often than I originally had thought. We're the type of people who turn off all of the lights in our house when we go to bed at night. We don't typically leave lights on in the rooms that we are not in. I decided to install a pair of motion-activated lights near the top and bottom of our stairs. That ensured that we'd be able to see the stairs well if we needed to use them in the middle of the night. And they worked like a charm. About 2 months after being installed, my wife began to notice the lights coming on all by themselves. It only happened if I was not at home or asleep in bed. I didn't see this happening. No one was near them. We didn't have pets, so I figured it must be a mouse or something. I did a test by rigging something a little bigger than a mouse to a string to see if I could make the lights activate, but I could not. Take something at least 1 foot above the floor to turn the lights on. I was beginning to think my wife was being paranoid or had an overactive imagination. That was until I began to notice the lights, too. I checked the lights multiple times to see if there was something wrong with them, and nothing. You had to get within 4 to 5 feet to cause them to turn on. I tried turning on ceiling fans to see if that was maybe the cause. Nope. There's just no explanation for it. The really odd thing was that first one light would turn on, then a few seconds later the other one would light up. Just as if a person was passing them. Sometimes the light at the bottom of the stairs would come on first, followed by the light at the top of the stairs seconds later. Other times it'd be reversed. It began to happen often enough that my wife asked me to disable them, because it just freaked her out too much. It didn't really bother me because I looked at it as a curiosity more than something that felt ominous. She was just too creeped out by it. She was beginning to feel somewhat threatened. She couldn't explain why, but she did. Not long after I removed the lights, I was talking with a neighbor in conversation. I mentioned that my wife thought the house was haunted. My neighbor said it must be Amy. I asked who Amy was. He told me that the lady who sold the house to us had a daughter who unfortunately passed away from an illness at about 10 years old. That happened about 15 years ago. He informed me that the bedroom downstairs was hers. That was where I would sometimes see shadows. The other place I would see the shadows was near the door to the master bedroom upstairs. It was finally making some sense. If it is her ghost, I guess she's going between her bedroom and her mom's or vice versa. I relayed the story to my wife and she's less creeped out by it now, but she still doesn't want the lights on, though. I kind of enjoyed having a haunted house. There does not seem to be any malevolent intentions by our guest. I do wish she would stop moving things, though.
I do think that's exactly what it was the ghost of somebody triggering those lights.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since he did all the experimenting to try and make it happen again, and it's just at the same pace as somebody walking through there.
Do you think it would be residual, or do you think she's there? And if she's there, is she aware that her parents are not there, or... And I wonder about that, because it's kind of sad to think that this 10-year-old girl is kind of lost in this house.
I'm going to go with not residual because of the fact that she's doing things like moving their stuff.
Okay.
And kind of playing almost, mm-hmm. being like a kid.
So she's probably aware then.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, hopefully she's not confused and she realizes that, you know, her family's no longer in that house.
Sure.
But I would think it's not residual.
It's an interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
We always had motion lights outside and they would turn on, but we had animals and everything that were wandering, sure, around too. So, I mean, there's a lot of times they turn on, you look, and there's nothing there. But it's one thing outside where it can be one of 500 things mm-hmm. that can move before you get a chance to look at it. Something totally different when it's inside your house.
Yeah.
And you can pretty much narrow down if there's something that should be going that way or not.
Well, I thought about getting those for the bathroom
mm-hmm.
because we have kids. And that way the light is going to be off when they leave. But this is a good reason for me not to do that because I just don't even want to see or open that possibility up.
I'm glad you found paranormal justification to not do something.
There you go.
It works. I mean, night lights, I think we're good.
Yeah.
I think it could just be a recipe for something like that to happen,
mm-hmm.
you know, or the girl's going, the light's constantly on, it won't turn off. And then we go down and check it and it's off.
Yeah.
You know, just like all the stories we get from adults who are like, I told my parents this stuff and they don't believe me. And then our kids are writing into our show someday going, I used to have this light.
Yeah.
And like, oh, well, maybe we should have paid more attention. But night lights, they consistently stay on. And those LED ones that exist now, they're going to have those things till they're 80 because they don't ever go out.
Yeah. Well, so. It's not so much the night light. It's more just getting them to turn the bathroom light off.
Yeah, that's true. Although our littlest one enjoys sleeping with the lights on.
Yeah, she does.
It's an odd little phase she's going through. Anyway, iRock writes in, back in 2006 here in Austin, my now ex and I lived in an older home built in about 1953. The house was creepy, had a creepy feeling. I knew the old house sounds, and I knew my dog sounds, too. We'd have things disappear from the bedroom and reappear in the car, even vanish from our own hands and reappear across the room. One night, I'd been out late downtown, and when I came in, I was in the kitchen doorway and was facing the front door that also had a hallway door off the living room by the front door. I hope that made sense. I instantly froze and said to my then-boyfriend, "There she is." Because there stood an old woman, plain as day, just staring at us. In a long, light-colored gown, white hair, drawn up into a bun, just normal typeface. I think she was the one making all the hallway noises, I would hear. When I would take a shower, I would hear what sounded like furniture moving. I told his mother about it because she lived there before we did, and she confirmed that it was the same ghost she had seen before, too. Weird. So, I'll let you go on that and share more later. This house was a nightmare to live in. Love you guys and spend many hours of my day listening. We'll be in EPP soon. I rock.
I want to hear more stories about the house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a pretty strong apparition to just be like, here I am, you know, not just a fleeting moment or just a presence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like a question.
No, and to be able to describe that person in detail and be like, oh yeah, she was there when I was there. First of all, thanks for sharing that tidbit before we moved in.
Yeah. No kidding. Good story. Thank you for writing that in, and we would love to hear more extensive versions of those stories. 855-853-4802. That's our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Marley. Hello, guys. It's Marley from Dallas, Texas. I have a story for you, but before I get into that, I found some interesting stuff out. As you may recall, I wrote in about my haunted childhood home. My dad and I were driving past it a couple weeks ago, and he said, out of the blue, every family that has lived in that house, as far as I'm aware, has divorced. It's cursed. That's a weird thing for my dad to say because he does not subscribe to any religion. Nor does he believe in curses. If any of the viewers are curious what episode this story was not featured on, it was Oceanfront. I also found out something that might explain why spirits are so attracted to me. I had a psychic ability reading in early March. The psychic told me my abilities, but also explained that in almost every single one of my past lives, I did something of a supernatural nature. For example, I was a priest in ancient Egypt, an oracle in Greece, and in my last incarnation, a tarot reader. I'm also really sensitive, as you probably guessed. This might explain why spirits are so common in my life, as well as how I've always just knew how to banish them. Anyways, this is the story of how I accidentally summoned a spirit in my best friend's house. It was sixth grade. I was 11 years old, still living in the house with a negative spirit, and my interest in the paranormal was still there. In my English teacher's classroom, she had a book so many young adults are probably aware of, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. I picked it up knowing that I'll get some satisfaction out of reading it. I took it back to my desk and began to look through it when I stumbled upon a game. The rules were fairly simple. Go into a bathroom, turn off the lights, chant the words, any ghost X amount of times, and you'll summon something in the mirror. If you want the game to end, just flick on the lights and the ghost will leave. I really wanted to do this, but there was no way in hell I was going to do it alone. So I asked my best friend Taylor, who was also the one to see the face in the window at my party, if we could do it. She agreed, and we decided to do it at her house instead of mine because she had a bathroom under the stairs that got really dark. In hindsight, that was a good thing because if we did it at my place, God knows what could have showed up. So we would do it over there, sometimes with her 7-year-old sister named Jordan and sometimes just the two of us. Since the bathroom was so small, Jordan would use the toilet as a chair. Taylor would be on the left and I would be on the right. We both had specific roles as well as... Taylor would be the chanter, I would be the light person, and Jordan would just sit if she was with us. We tried over and over again, resulting in failure. Most of the time I'd flick on the lights because I got scared for no reason. Once in a while, Taylor would mess up. We'd burst out laughing. But one day we got results. Everyone was in their spots, Taylor on the left, me on the light switch, and Jordan on the toilet. Taylor began chanting when a blue mist started to appear. I got more and more vibrant, like it was getting stronger, as my friend chanted. I was terrified. This was the first time we got results. I freaked out, turned on the lights, and the mist disappeared. We ran out of the bathroom, only to find another creepy discovery. One of the cabinet doors was open in the kitchen, next to the bathroom. There was no way this could have been possible because nobody was in that room while we were doing our disturbing pastime. We talked about what we saw and all saw the same thing, bluish mist slowly appearing and began to start to have eyes. Ever since then, at night, we would hear what sounded like someone walking on the stairs. First, I thought it was her dad, but soon canceled that out because nobody would see anyone on the stairs when it would happen. Keep in mind, the bathroom was under the stairs. Sadly, I haven't talked to my former best friend in years. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed my story. And have a great day.
I think it's funny that in the book, or I don't remember reading that one, but it suggested that, oh, turn the light on and it'll be done. You're not going to just magically get rid of something by turning the light on. And I'm sure she knows that now.
Mm-hmm.
But for any of our younger listeners, that's not how it works.
Yeah, you can't just conjure something up and then, oh, okay, time to go away.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and... You know, there's kids that play these games, and like they did for a long time, and absolutely nothing happened. All it really takes is one time for it to work.
Yeah, it does.
And when it works, you got to find a way to get rid of whatever you brought in there. And sometimes it's something harmless. Sometimes it's a lot more than that. I wonder if the friends stopped talking to her, or they stopped being friends because they basically created a haunted house at her friend's house, and they're like, I don't want you as a friend anymore.
It's hard to know. I mean, this happened in sixth grade.
Sure.
Between sixth grade and graduation, change your group of friends quite a bit.
I wonder how that conversation would go if, you're the parent and you're upset that the friend brought a ghost into your house.
Mm-hmm.
Do you call the other parents and go, you know, I'm really upset. Susie came here the other day and they had some sort of a seance or something and she brought a ghost in.
I don't think it would do any good to do that. If it would fix the situation, of course, call the parents and say, you deal with this. Your child brought it.
I think
not how it works.
I think it would just make it so the parent wouldn't want the child playing with your child anymore.
Yeah.
They'd be like, yeah, their parents are kind of crazy.
Well, I would have a talking to with my child and say, okay, they may not believe in this, but here's what happened when you guys did that in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to play with Susie down the street anymore because she conjured up a spirit in our bathroom.
So when the headless horseman's outside the window, don't come crying to me.
No, I would try then to remedy the situation, but I would encourage them to not play together anymore.
Yeah. Interesting story.
Yeah.
Something to think about if you're a parent and your children are conjuring spirits up in your basement bathroom. Because everyone has that issue. Juan writes in, "Hello, I'm a 20-year-old Hispanic male. I believe this happened to me around 5 to 6 years ago. I was just turning 15 years old, so it must have been sometime around November. I was in a Spanish-speaking Christian church with my family. Some boy around the age of 17 who had just arrived from Puerto Rico just started coming to our church with his family. This boy also had a crush on my sister, who I believe was the same age as her at the time. I used to follow my sister around all the time. I was like her tail at that time. So I've gotten to be around this boy now and then. I've spoken to him on normal terms, etc. He seemed as normal as a boy his age could get. Only knew Spanish, having lived in Puerto Rico his entire life. So anyway, one day, I and my family arrived at church, evening time around 5 o'clock, where we were all going up to the front to be prayed for by the preachers and priests of the church. I felt our family needed it because we're going through some tough times around this time. The boy came up, like we all did, and behaving rather strangely. He started growling and snarling and jerking his head back and forth like he didn't want the priest resting his hand on his head to be anointed. I was already walking back to my seat when he began acting that way. But he immediately, out of curiosity, turned back to take a good look at what was going on. The preacher then announced on the mic for everyone in the entire church to go down to the basement. So everyone began doing so, with the exception of the priest, my uncle, and me. My uncle was sitting on the furthest back seat. I guess he was as curious as I was, or skeptical, I guess. He served in the army, so I didn't see any fear in my uncle as he watched. Who wouldn't want to watch and see what was going to happen in a moment like this? I was standing at the top of the stairs leading down to the basement watching. There were, if I remember correctly, 5 priests. 3 of them were holding this boy down. The 4th priest was doing some kind of prayer around the entire church, while the last one was asking the boy, "What is your name?" He didn't respond, staring completely straight forward without turning his head whatsoever. The priest yelled out at him again, saying, "I command you in the name of our Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit to state your name." He laughed. All of a sudden, this boy didn't sound like himself, and he began speaking a different language. There was neither Spanish nor English, but something else. Nothing I could understand. Anyway, the thing possessing this boy looked at me with the most evil, spine-chilling look I've ever had the displeasure of experiencing. What's more is that he decided to look at me after I started reciting in my head the Lord's Prayer. Out of complete fear, I dashed down the steps and I finally joined the rest of the church in the basement. We ended up spending the entire night in there, all the way up until 1 o'clock in the morning. The entire night felt extremely uneasy, with the kind of huge pressure from the heavy atmosphere on your chest down to having a feeling that you're being watched with eyes all over you from the darkness. The boy finally seemed fine, though he was in tears and all when the night and the church was finally done and over with. Now here's where my terror began. As soon as we went home, we were all exhausted from that crazy night in church. I wish we had fun stuff like this in our church.
Yeah, that sounds like a blast.
They don't do this sort of stuff.
No.
I went to bed and crashed to sleep. Well, I and my little brother did together. My little brother, who should have been 13 at the time, would sleep with me in the same bed because of the lack of rooms in our home. We slept in the attic, which had been fitted to the bedroom like any other. Anyway, I fell asleep and found myself back at the church, standing at the top of the steps leading down to the basement again. Except lights in the church were dimmed down, and the light above the basement stairs were off, while the lights in the basement were on. So I looked around to the front of the church, where I guess what people would call an exorcism took place, but saw nothing. As I looked back down to the basement door, I saw this demonic thing in the shape of a human running or sprinting at me up the stairs, screaming at me. I was unable to move an inch in my dream. All I could do was watch it approach me. It finally tackled me and I jolted up out of my sleep. Now comes the part of my story that'll either make you think I'm crazy or just completely bullshitting. After jolting up out of my sleep, I could see, hear, and feel the presence of an entire gang of demons all around me, growling, screaming, trying to terrorize me and succeeding. I yelled at the top of my lungs, looking all around the room, seeing what I could consider otherworldly beings all around me. What makes things even more terrifying for me, after placing my head under my blanket, I could still see them every single time I'd blink. I could still hear them, too. After going under the blanket, I could even feel them shaking the bed. Now imagine that for a moment. Not even being able to close your eyes without fear of seeing them, along with having to listen to their screams and laughter. I didn't know what to do. I was too terrified to run to the light and turn it on. After all the yelling I did, even today I'm surprised my brother didn't wake. I had to punch my brother out of his sleep, because shaking him and yelling his name wasn't working at all. I hit him so hard that he woke up in tears and anger, wanting to fight me, except when he noticed how terrified I was, that urge went away completely. As soon as I realized he was up, I couldn't tell him enough times to turn on the bedroom light. When he finally did, I was still too terrified, crying and all. I told him to go get our mother. He replied, telling me that she wasn't going to climb all these steps to reach us, especially at this hour, which the time was 3:04 in the morning. I told him that I didn't care if he had to lie and tell her that I had set the room on fire, to just make sure she came up and not to take too long, and that I needed someone to stay close to me. I felt like it took my brother forever just to come up with her. I remember barely working up the courage to just peek out of a small hole I created with my blanket, even with the lights on. When my mom finally arrived, I told her everything that happened, and she seemed so calm about it, almost felt like she didn't believe me, except she did, because she had experienced similar things, even worse, believe me. She told me that whatever was in the boy at the church must have tried latching onto me. She prayed for me, and I slept in her bed that night. Her prayer took the weight that I left with at the church off of me finally. After hearing my story, my brother slept in bed with us, being terrified of what happened to me. We moved out of the attic the next day and into another room. I promise to you all that this is not made up. I'm wondering if someone else has ever had a similar experience. I have some stories to tell, but if I type them all, it would take forever.
I think we've had similar stories.
Mm-hmm.
I know going through it and talking about it probably doesn't make it seem any less far-fetched, but for what we talk about, it doesn't seem all that far-fetched.
No, there are other stories that we've had on the show where similar-esque things have happened, where someone's viewed an exorcism or something, where they believe the individual was possessed by something, and it then latched on to another person that was in the room at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does happen. As far as what episodes those are on, I don't know. But if you just spend about 8 days of listening, you'll find the show.
Oh, we have more than that.
Is it more than that?
Yeah, I think it's like 16 days straight.
Of complete. Okay. So spend about a month.
Yeah.
Just don't do anything. Quit your job. Don't sleep. And just listen to the show and you'll find it. But there are indeed other stories. And if and continue to listen for any period of time, I'm confident there will be more that will come up that will be relatable to for you to a similar situation like that. But it seems to make sense. And that's probably the reason the priest told everyone to get to the basement.
Yeah.
For that reason.
Yeah.
Because he was aware that this sort of thing can happen. But I get it. Curiosity.
Well, you're 15 and you want to see what's going to happen.
I'd probably be doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I'd be hiding up in the balconies of the church, watching what was going on. I always felt like balconies in churches were kind of creepy.
They are. The choir lofts, I don't know why.
Yeah. I grew up going to a Lutheran church, and I don't get any weird vibes at all in that building. I feel very comforted there. It just seems like there's a lot of happy memories there as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's probably it. I really had nothing negative happen there. But the loft there, and it's a very, it's not super modern, but I guess modern for like 1980 or so when it was built. It's got the big pipe organ.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a weird creepiness to it. I mean, it's not the same creepiness as like some of the older Catholic churches and those balconies where it's very, ornate and all of that. And I mean, it's beautiful with the stained glass, but it's creepy.
creepiest balcony I've ever been in a church. Was no longer a church, but that was the restaurant.
I was just going to ask you about that.
Yeah, it's got some weird vibes. I really couldn't figure out what it was.
Yeah, that it's a place called Trinity, and it's in my hometown, Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, and it's now a restaurant. A really neat restaurant.
It's really good.
And they've taken this church and turned it into a really nice restaurant. But there is seating up there in the balcony. And it's that balcony that you went into is creepy.
Yeah.
There's another side balcony that's a martini lounge that we walked up into. And that one, not so creepy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, because they've redone it so much that it doesn't necessarily have the same feel of the balcony. Whereas the balcony that we went into, which was just the back of the church balcony, which would have probably had the organ and all of that in there at some point in time. That one does have a weird vibe to it. I don't know why.
I don't know either.
I don't think I'd want to eat my pasta up there.
No. Uh-uh.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Rob writes in, "Hey, guys. I'd visited my buddy Kareem a few years back when he asked me a favor. His aunt, whom was becoming bedridden at this time, asked if he would clean up her home. He didn't hesitate. Kareem worked construction and wanted to make her happy. And he knew I was willing to help him out. The house wasn't too bad, but the garage was full of dusty items. Some items along the roof were... They added planks to support various other junk. These things must have been stored there for several decades because the majority of what we pulled down was damaged due to age, along with insects and some chewed up by rats. We used walkie-talkies during the job. Half the time, he was playing construction foreman as I tossed down the items that were obviously damaged between some kids yelling silly things and making random noises on the same frequency as our walkie-talkies. We didn't have a deadline to finish cleaning, but we managed to clear everything out of the garage by the end of the weekend. Kareem informed me the day his aunt would die would be when they sell the house. It was her late husband's name, so when she passes on, the bank would take the property. I don't know how all that stuff works. I just wanted to help my friend out, and I know he would do the same for me. We set up the next weekend to make sure all the things were going well for his aunt. We were taken aside from some nurse that informed us this was a type of hospice care and were asked to speak quietly to try to make things more comfortable for her. This didn't pan out too well because his aunt knew we were basically do everything she told us to do. This was a lady who couldn't walk on her own. She would tell us that the furniture should be moved a certain way and it would make her happy. We didn't argue, but this became a weekly thing over several months, and I wasn't willing to make the drive or cancel plans for this guy's aunt. It wasn't until Kareem begged me to show up when I finally did. He had spent all his time around his aunt, so I figured he needed a friend around. This is almost 2 years after we cleaned out the garage, which was basically when Kareem found out his aunt's health was beginning to deteriorate. His aunt had slipped into a coma the prior weekend and was rushed to the hospital. This was a Tuesday, and his greedy family members were looting her house over the past couple of days. It was only Kareem and a few other family members trying to protect his aunt's property, and they were calling the authorities. The police asked me questions, and as a non-biased party, I had to give a testimony. It wasn't a big deal to me because all I did was recall some of the missing items and tell them his aunt couldn't walk and was in the hospital. The authorities gave those greedy family members a scare, which was rightfully so, because those assholes were showing up with moving vans before my friend's aunt even died. His aunt passed on by the weekend. Funeral arrangements were planned, and due to the situation, I made sure to take time off work to attend the funeral. The funeral went well, but shortly after, the family attempted to loot the house again. Several of them fought, but the bank stepped in. Strange as it may sound, if the bank didn't seize the property, their family would likely still be fighting to this day. Roughly a month after his aunt's house sold, Kareem was texting me constantly. Kept telling him that I didn't want to get mixed up with his family fighting, but he kept insisting that I had to see something. He had mentioned to me that he's not allowed to believe in this sort of thing, but needed me to prove he wasn't losing his mind. So I made him drive. He lived 30 minutes from me, and his aunt's house was the opposite direction over around San Bernardino. During the drive, he was calling up those family members who looted his aunt's house, talking on speakerphone while they spoke another language, but fear and anger are universal. He later translated what they were saying and that they were avoiding the questions he kept asking them. When we pulled up to his aunt's house, there were a few items of furniture there. Kareem asked if I recognized them, which I did. It looked like a few things his aunt had us move around the house. She only made us move things in her bedroom and a few items in the living room. We didn't exit the vehicle. We continued to drive as my friend continued to make calls. I guess this was going on for a week. Kareem asked if I would show up again the next weekend, which I promised to do. Sure enough, the next weekend we noticed more belongings on the property. This time was different. Kareem knocked on the door and asked about the furniture. The people who lived there weren't remotely scared, more confused, and it was a family with several children. They told us the items would get dropped off, but would only be there for a few days and only asked if we could find out who keeps doing it. They resolved that problem on their own, finding out Kareem's family members were dropping off the items there. They were caught and fined a few times, and eventually the new homeowners no longer had to deal with this issue again. We later found out from Kareem's family that the items would move on their own. Nothing harmful, but no matter how damaged these items were, they would always return to the people who stole them. These are the same items we moved around his aunt's house, and Kareem still to this day tells me he's not allowed to believe in this sort of thing, but he feels less crazy knowing that I confirmed the items that were moved around. It could have been a prank to teach them a lesson, but if it's real, this is creepy because Kareem told me that he was the only other person who helped his aunt move the furniture around. The rest of the people around his aunt's house in her final years alive were older women who couldn't physically move these items. Part of me wonders if his aunt had something to do with it, or maybe she offered to share her enjoyment of having these items moved around for her loved ones, who seemed to enjoy her property more than she did. Thanks for reading. Getting more excited knowing the show is still around. We're getting much closer to the fun month of October. Maybe you should have a pumpkin carving contest. Take care, guys.
That would be fun. Listeners could carve a pumpkin and send a picture in.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
We should do something like that.
Well, we'll figure out something.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay.
I think that's what those assholes get. Seriously. I mean, if they're going to start stealing from a lady who hasn't even quite died yet, then I think she should haunt them.
Now, I want to understand this because I was a little bit confused when reading it.
Okay.
The items, they were taken from the house by the people.
Uh-huh.
And then are they disappearing from these people's homes and going back to this house? Or are these people dropping the items back off at the house and they're reappearing back in the people who stole them's house?
What I think is going on is they stole these items. They're moving around their house.
Okay.
And they're dropping them off to get rid of them.
Okay.
Because somebody else has already taken the house.
I see.
Taken possession of the house. So they're just like dumping them on these new people's yard.
Okay.
Where the aunt used to live.
To get rid of them because it's all being moved on its own.
Yeah.
Okay. I was almost getting the impression that the items were being dumped on the yards and then somehow going back to these homes. But they're sitting on the lawns and that's it. And that's where the problem came in.
Yeah. Okay. They're just trying to return them.
It'd be really creepy if they were, like, going across town, like, teleporting, essentially.
Sure. No, I think that they just want to get rid of them.
I would have that issue, too, if the furniture was moving on its own. Although, unless it's done really nicely, you could walk into a room. Oh, my gosh! I never thought of putting the couch there. That's a great idea. Thank you, dead person. It's like having your own interior decorator who's dead.
Yeah.
For free.
You know, this story kind of reminded me of the, and I don't know that I would call it a folktale, but about the Hawaiian lava rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget which volcano it is, but supposedly if you take a lava rock, you're going to be cursed.
Okay.
It's been done so many times, and these lava rocks return that there's, like, apparently a P.O. box where these lava rocks can be sent.
Oh, God.
To get them back onto the volcano.
Lava rocks?
I think it's a specific volcano. I don't think it's just all of them.
Sure. I don't know which my dad got them for me when he went to Hawaii when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And he, like, picked them up from the ground. I don't know where it was. He probably doesn't even know.
Yeah. It could just be a, you know, bad timing.
I don't feel cursed.
No.
I think I'm okay.
Knock on wood.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting stuff there. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Can you imagine if you had Christopher Lowell haunting you and he was rearranging your house and...
That is a name I've not heard in 10 years.
Doing like the upholstery and everything?
Oh my gosh.
It's like, oh my gosh. All the furniture's been recovered.
He was like...
He was big.
Yeah, before HGTV really took off and stuff like that.
Yeah, he was like the only guy in the business on that sort of thing. It's kind of like Sam Brown on Travel Channel.
Yeah.
It's like you turn on Travel Channel, all you can watch is like Samantha Brown wandering around places.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually they got like all the other shows on there. And it's like, oh, we're sorry. You have like weekends at like midnight. And
right.
We're just going to rerun some shows of you and insert you in other random places. But I don't know what he's associated with anymore, but... That won't be a bad person to haunt you. You can keep the house looking tidy.
Yep.
Aaron writes in, hi, I've been listening to your show for a while now. Took me a little time to get my courage together to tell one of my experiences. Because of that little voice in the back of my head that tells me I'm crazy for seeing, hearing, or experiencing whatever paranormal event I'm going through, I try to share only events that had a physical element or eyewitness. This event I feel is one of the more interesting ones I've experienced. This happened about 8 years ago when I was around 25. My husband worked the night shift and went to school and worked during the day. Because of this, our bedroom was completely blacked out and I worked hard to keep lights low and noises down. I just finished getting ready for the day and was walking out of my bedroom onto the dark upstairs landing. I turned to go down the stairs when I noticed a shadow of a person leaning against the stair railing. I stepped back in surprise for a moment, but caught myself with maybe it's the shadow somehow, or my shadow somehow. So I moved in a waving motion to see if the shadow would also. Unfortunately, the shadow did not move, just continued to lounge around on the railing. I thought maybe something from below was causing the shadow, but looking past, I could see the sunlight on the floor below and could not find any cause for the shadow. Finally, keeping my eyes on the shadow person, I leaned towards the light switch and flicked it on. When I did, the light bulb exploded, causing me to scream. It appeared when the light exploded that the shadow figure seemed to zoom off down the stairs. My screaming, of course, woke my husband. He came to my rescue, finding me trembling on the landing with glass everywhere. He could not find anyone in the house, and even though he is experienced as an electrician, nor could he explain why the bulb exploded. This isn't the first time I have seen a shadow person, but it was my first experience at seeing one so close and in my house. We did not have much else happening while living there and have since moved. Thank you for taking the time to read my story. Love your show and appreciate all you do to help people become more comfortable in sharing their experiences. Erin.
I think that was a great idea for her to wave to see if it was her shadow or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should all remember that if we encounter a shadow person.
Is the shadow moving with you?
Yeah.
Or against you?
But the shadow person may take that as, oh, they're waving at me.
Hi.
I can stay.
It's a welcoming sign.
Yeah,
it's right there. I think that would be the first thing I would be doing is just saying, does the shadow move with me? If it's not, okay.
Watch it be an asshole shadow person and it mimics you and then it does something really bad.
And gives you the finger.
Well, it like makes you think it's your shadow.
Sure.
And then it like rushes you or something.
That could happen.
That's the kind of shadow person I would be.
I would too. I mean, it would just be like, oh, like make them think it for a little while. Even better if it's like you can mimic someone in a mirror.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, wait a second. Like that's been done like every movie with a mirror and a ghost.
Yeah.
855-853-4802. Anna writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. It's been a while since I've written one of my stories. This particular one happened back in 2008 when I lived in Apex, North Carolina. I was living in a three-story apartment complex that backed off into a wooded area. These apartments were extremely nice and peaceful, especially since they had these nice balconies that faced the wooded area. At the end of hard work, I could go there and retreat there, and meditate and relax. At that time, my daughters were only 2 and 3 and a half years old. I was a single mother, raising alone. We lived in the third floor. We shared one room. I never failed. It never failed that in the middle of the night, they'd wake me with the most terrifying screams, calling me as if their life was about to end. I'd run terrified to see what was going on, only to find them in each other's arms under their covers, crying hysterically, saying, "The monster came to get us again." When I asked what the monster looked like, they described him as a small black creature, kind of like a person, but with a face like the devil. That he had skin and it was black. They wanted for him to leave with him. He would promise them games and toys, but because he was so scary looking, they were very terrified of him. They said that he will simply pass through the window. They made me call a friend of mine who's a medium. I told him everything, and he became very concerned about the safety of my girls. He told me that what I had visiting my girls was a fairy, and these usually take children away. That I needed to take drastic measures immediately, like apply sea salt all over the apartment and apply olive oil to windows until he could get there, which could take weeks. I needed to move the girls out of the apartment since the visitations were becoming too frequent. At that, I told him that, luckily, the girls had a summer trip coming in the next couple of days, and they were going out of state for the whole month. He advised me to pack and not to talk about the trip and make sure the thing didn't suspect it. And so the day came when the girls left for their trip, which they did not even realize I had packed. They thought we were going to the park. Instead, I drove them to the airport, and they left with their father for a month vacation. So it happens that a few days later, I was having a cup of tea out on the balcony. Must have been around 12 a.m. or so. The pine trees were moving a little in the breeze. That's when we both stared at each other. There he was, the creature that had been visiting my girls. He let me see him on purpose to let me know he noticed they were gone. His face looked like one of those Indian war masks, exactly like the image the ghost hunters captured when they traveled to Ireland and they captured the face of a fairy. His body must have been around 3 feet, but it was the face that I can never forget and had so much emotion. I stood there just looking at him, and then calmly got up and said okay and went inside. I prayed all night and many nights to come, but he never came for me. And when the girls came back, he never came back. I guess he moved on, thinking the girls had left for good. You know, I wrote this because of your EPP episode number 48. I strongly believe that the boy was taken by a fairy. I believe him.
It's hard to know. That's the story we call the story. And
yeah,
it's hard to know what happened to that boy.
Yeah, there's so many ideas and theories. There's a lot of topics about that on our forum as well. But that's a very unexplained, scary, horrible story. It's a mm-hmm. great story if you want to hear a scary story. But it's a horrible story.
Yeah.
But I guess that could be another possibility.
I don't know much about fairies.
The interesting thing, though, is the boy in that story, I don't know much about fairies either. I don't know, like, it almost sounded here like, it was like almost enticing the girls to go along in a positive way. Mm-hmm. Or in their minds, they think it was positive. The thing with the boy in episode 48, there was fear, there was terror, there was screaming. I don't know if that's how they work or if it's more of an enticing thing. But that clearly, when that event was going on, was not a happy moment.
No. From one of the courses I took, we learned about some fairy folklore.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with a lot of Eastern European countries and that they are a bad omen. Particularly in the mining industries, people would claim to see fairies right before things would collapse or explode. Now, when you're mining, it could be any kind of
sure
fume or, you know, gas that's released that makes you see that.
Sure.
But it's common enough that there is quite a bit of folklore there.
Interesting. So it's not all Tinkerbell.
No, not at all.
Disney should do a scary fairy.
The Scary Fairy.
New from Walt Disney Pictures, The Scary Fairy. What happens when Tinkerbell's cousin, Tinderbell, shows up?
Tinderbell?
And eats your puppy.
See, I thought it'd be more like Hellbell.
Hellbell. Yeah. I could see that being a great one. With special appearances by Krampus.
God.
It'd be great. Yes. There you go. Interesting stuff. We should look more into the fairy thing because it seems like an interesting topic.
That's just a funny phrase.
Look more into the fairy thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never thought I'd say that one out loud.
Nope.
Well, there you go. All right. That is it for today's episode. If you have a ghost story, you know how to share it with us, please do so. If you like our show, please support it. Help keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Get access to all of our EPP bonus episodes. And go ahead. You know you want to. Start with EPP 48. It's a great one. It had a great story on there.
Don't start with EPP 48. End there.
Okay, end there.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's start wherever. Yeah, end there. It's one of the best.
Yeah.
Do that. All right. All right. Check it out. RealGhostStoriesOnline.com. It's only $5 a month. And like I said, it supports the show. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.